It's time for a bi-week barn takeover.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We are back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five. Happy Thursday. We are ready for a barn takeover, a www.thebarnauburn.com takeover for today. Went to the board. I do the live shows on the weekends, and they're fun, like the after the post-game show, and then the Sunday Night Lives become a lot of fun as well. And we take questions there, but there's so many questions in the chat. It's hard in comments. It's hard to get to all of them. So I want to try to give the members of the barn an opportunity to get some questions in and sort of build the show around them. We have a lot of great conversations, a lot of great community in general. And I think you're going to see that coming through. So definitely we may actually start making this a weekly thing. I think they, a lot of the ideas and conversations again that happen, I think are great talking points. I think it's great discussions to have. So we're going to dive in. We got several questions. We're going to see how many we can get through today and just have some fun. So before we do that, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code next round for a double up deposit bonus. Give them $250. They're going to give you another $250 back on top of it to play with. Hit all the sports betting lines you can ever imagine. First half, second half, live betting, does not matter. They have it for football. They have it for college. They have it for NFL. They got all your playoff baseball stuff. They'll have basketball when that rolls around. Any sports you can imagine, they got it. Check them out, mybookie.ag. So like I said, I wanted to make our members a little bit more part of the show and kind of give you guys a glimpse of what's going on at the barn at the same time. So I don't want to take any more time. I want to just jump right in because we got some really good questions that I want to dive into. So first off the name, Crushing Some Chicken Parm. That is way back in into the Locked On Auburn meme world. That's way back whenever you had Brian Harsin and his chief of staff, Brad LaRondo, that Zach and I had kind of created into this mafia boss. And we had the Crushing the Chicken Parm joke that we had. It turned into being a chicken parm night at a local restaurant. Rest in peace. It's no longer here. So it was a lot of fun. But here's the question. Coming into the second half of the season, how would you rank the final six games from most to least winnable? All right, so let's talk about the rest of the season. So first off, you got Louisiana Monroe, okay? And unfortunately, Louisiana Monroe's having one of the best starts they've had. They've had to their season in quite a while. They stroked UAB. They beat Troy. They beat James Madison, which James Madison is, I know they lost their coach that was, you know, had won all their games, but they're, you know, they're still a pretty solid program. They got dominated by Texas. They don't seem to have a very powerful offense at all, but they do seem to have maybe a pretty stingy defense. So, but still, look, when Texas beat them 51-3. Now, I'm not saying that Auburn is on the level of Texas, but I think by that point in time, it's at home. I think Auburn should win that one fairly easy. My second one, believe it or not, I got it switched up. The second one I have is Missouri. Look, Missouri is a team that – first of all, they've played a pretty poor schedule so far. They played Murray State, Buffalo, Boston College, Vanderbilt, and then they played Texas A&M. And they played Texas A&M. That is a real SEC caliber roster, and they got absolutely obliterated. I think their offense is a little bit it's not quite as great as we think it is. Hold on. Yeah, I'm still on the same question. It's not quite as great as we think it is. I think actually, if I'm not mistaken, Peyton Thorne may average more yards passing per game than Brady Cook. So it's off a bye week. It's at 11 a.m. They're just coming off getting just dominated. I know they do play, say, they got a weird schedule where they go at Massachusetts, which is strange. So they're going, they have a travel game to Boston or at Massachusetts, UMass, and then they come back home to play Auburn the following week. Again, at 11 a.m., take the crowd out of the game, or at least make the crowd tougher to get up for that game. And then Auburn, again, you got a week to rest, a week to plan for it, a week to sort of figure out ways to be more consistent. I think that one's a better shot to win. I think that's the second easiest one to win. Go to Vandy. I got Vandy next. I'll put Vandy a little bit tougher than Vandy, a little bit tougher than Missouri, because their offense is sort of tricky. It's going to be dink and dunk and hold the ball, which is, you know, a lot like what Arkansas did to Auburn. You got a quarterback that can move around. I think he could give some. I think he could give Auburn some problems. He obviously gave Auburn problems last year. And in theory, he has a little bit more talent at Vanderbilt. He's got a taste of blood. They've knocked off, obviously, they knocked off Alabama. Now, they did drop one to Georgia State. So, look, at the end of the day, it's still going to be Vandy. It's an iffy roster. They can get hot, but I think Auburn obviously can. They should be able to win this game. Then I got Kentucky. After that, Kentucky has played stingy defense at times, not at times, all year. I would imagine they're probably one of the top scoring defenses in the conference. They only gave up 13 points to Georgia. They got stroked by South Carolina, which was kind of weird. They gave up 31 to South Carolina, but they only gave up 17 to Ole Miss, which Ole Miss has one of the more explosive offenses in the country. It's at Kentucky. It's going to be a little bit tougher environment. They don't have a very good offense at all. Like, they have the type of offense that Auburn should be able to shut down. So then it's just a matter of, can you make a play on the road? Can you make some plays on the road on offense to be able to take advantage of, because they're going to give you the ball back a bunch of times because they're just not a very, very solid offense. So can you stop the run, make their quarterback try to beat you? And but it's on the road and they play a little bit tougher defense. So that's kind of how I see that one. Texas A&M, they're probably the most talented roster on both sides of the ball that we're going to play. And that's including Alabama. But for some reason, and they've won five straight. So they're obviously, you know, playing pretty good football. They just beat the crap out of Missouri. They beat Arkansas, which is turning out to be a really good win. I think they've sort of gotten over that ugly performance against Notre Dame, and they're playing pretty good football. So we'll have to see. They play at Mississippi. I think they're actually off this weekend, and they play at Mississippi State. They play LSU. They play South Carolina all before they come to Auburn. So we'll see. It's a long time up until then, but they, to me, have the most complete roster on both sides of the ball. They're going to be tough, but it is at home, so I'm not ranking it as the toughest game. And then you got Alabama that's going to be at Tuscaloosa. The most talented, probably the most talented quarterback we're going to play the rest of the way. Probably the most explosive receiver we're going to play the rest of the way. And regardless of how they've played on defense the last 2 weeks, actually the last six quarters, or maybe longer. Back half of the Georgia game, and then the four quarters they played against Vanderbilt, which was putrid. They are still loaded with talent. So, did they see some things that, you know, they maybe could correct in that game? I would wager that's the case. So, and it's at Tuscaloosa where we don't play very well. So that's how I see it. I see it as Louisiana Monroe, Missouri, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Texas A&M, Alabama. That's how I see it. Let's go to the next one. It's Gavin 17. What's the overall morale for our young talent, potential talent coming in the 2025 class? Look, I've talked to a few. I've had a few on the show. I'm kind of shocked. There's not a lot of names out there that are wavering. There's not a lot of names even as of now that you're hearing, oh, so-and-so's, you know, thinking about flipping or, you know, really not even a ton of visits elsewhere that are really making headlines. Obviously, the ones that have taken visits, you have Donovan Starr, who's taken multiple visits. Malik Autry has taken some visits. So those are ones that have definitely seemed to have, I guess, at least the door open a little bit. And I know Ohio State still wants Malik Autry. So if they can come on late and, you know, use the right pitch, you never know there. But overall, I mean, everybody was really fired up about Deuce Knight. They're seeing a lot of the younger guys playing and making plays. And they kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel. They see things different than us. So I would say overall, the morale, surprisingly, is really well. And you're adding commits. And, hey, I think you're going to add another one this weekend. And we may talk about that down the road. But I think you're primed to add another commitment this weekend. Let's go to the next one. I Speak GIF. Great name. Since we've still been able to miraculously build a record-breaking class with loss after loss, is there any real benefit to trying to salvage the season and just play all freshmen / young guys? I mean, that's a great question. So typically what you worry about is you're trying to get wins. The theory is the more wins you get, the easier it is to recruit, and you won't lose guys to decommitting and going elsewhere, things like that. But, hey, since we're still seeming to load up guys, we just landed Deuce Knight. We're about to land. We just had Cale Ellis reclass up to come play in this class earlier. And it looks like you may add another commitment this weekend. Is there any point right now to continuing to play any older guys and just play all younger guys? First of all, we are playing a ton of young guys. I mean, on offense, the only two guys, I mean, if you think about last year's class, out of 20 players, I think only eight of those were offensive guys. Okay. And three of them were offensive linemen who just aren't ready to play right now. So you can't play the offensive linemen. So that leaves you five players. Four of them are receivers, and one of them was Walker White. You have Walker White and Bryce Kane that look like they're going to be redshirt guys. I don't know what benefit you gain by playing either one of those right now and burning their, you know, getting them into a situation where they burn their redshirt, because they're both going to be really good players in time. So I think that does more harm than good. Now, Perry, I need Perry. I'd love to see Perry on the field all the time. I'd love to see Malcolm on the field all the time, which Malcolm played a ton. He's starting to play more and more and more. So on the offensive side, I think another thing people are thinking about, can we just get rid of Peyton Thorne and just play the other quarterbacks? And I get it. But look, Peyton Thorne is averaging about 250 yards a game. You got to go all the way back to 1997 to find that kind of production. He is producing at a high level, but if you can fix the decision making at the end, you know, in crucial times over this last six stretch of games, you can reel off, like, you have the opportunity to win, you know, four out of the next six. You really do. Like, it's not that far fetched. So I don't know that you want to go just full on fire sale right now. And again, I don't know that it necessarily helps you that much moving forward, because there's so many young guys playing already. Now, on defense, I'd like to see more Amaris Williams, but then who do you take that away from? Because he kind of plays the same position as Keldrick Falk. So, like, maybe figure out ways to play more guys like Amaris Williams. I would love to see more Jamonta Waller. He, I think, injured his foot at practice this week, so he's out for the rest of the year. Can you work in Joseph Phillips a little bit? I don't know that he's physically ready to go. Again, I think if you really look at it and really look at the amount of snaps the young guys are playing, they're playing a ton. They actually are. They're playing a lot of snaps. Let's go to the next one. WDE Opie 335. Great question. Where do you think leadership is lacking, on the field or on the sideline? Now, I read this two different ways, and I clarified it with him, but I'm going to answer it both ways. So is leadership lacking on the field or on the sideline? Okay, so that's the way he meant the question, either one or the other. And I think personally, who is the leader on the field? Who would you say is your guy that is you can depend on, that's going to make a play? I think you have one on the defensive side of the ball right now, and that's Keldrick Faulk and honestly maybe Caleb Harris. And Caleb Harris is a freshman, and Keldrick Faulk is a fantastic player, but he's a quiet guy. I don't know that you really see him being that vocal leader that rallies the troops. He's just sort of a leader by example type player. And then you go to offense. I have no idea. Jarquez Hunter should be the guy. I don't think he – I mean, you can look at the last play, that fourth and one play. I'm not saying it's his fault, but, I mean, if you're in a huddle and there's an opportunity to for there to be a read and you say, you better give me the daggum ball. I'm getting – no matter what, I don't care what your read is, I'm getting the ball and I'm getting this first down. I don't know that there's that killer guy yet. On offense, I don't know that there's that leader yet. I really don't. I don't think you have it at quarterback. I don't see it at running back. I don't see it at wide receiver. You have guys that are making plays, like Keandre Lambert-Smith is playing and just having an unreal season, but is Keandre Lambert-Smith the guy that's just, you know, yelling at people, getting in people's face and firing everybody up? I don't really see that, and I don't think that's necessarily his role. I really don't think that's his role. So, I think Auburn is lacking some leadership on the field as far as guys that, you know, people look to lean on to make a play. I just don't think there's that guy quite yet. But I think there's a lot of potential in the youth to be those guys, especially Caleb Harris is one. I think Caleb Harris may have a C on his jersey sooner than later. Let's just leave it at that. I think he has more leadership than a lot of the seniors, especially on the defensive side. So, and then as far as the second way you can read this question, where do you lack leadership on the field and where do you lack leadership on the sideline? I think it could kind of, if you read that question, you could take it both of those ways. I just mentioned on the field. On the sideline, it's tough because obviously Hugh's calling the plays. I don't know that you necessarily have Hughes calling the plays. You have your offensive assistants. You got your, I think Durkin's maybe in the booth at times. I can't remember if Durkin's on the field or no, he's on the field. He's definitely on the field. Durkin has been, he's been unbelievable as far as getting the defense, you know, situated. I know we had a substitution infraction against Georgia, but for the most part, the substitutions have been great. Getting a lot of different guys in there. They get fired up on that side of the ball, the offensive side of the ball. I mean, maybe you need a little bit more fire from your offensive line coach, maybe a little bit more fire from, you know, a couple of the other offensive staff guys. But I don't know that there's really a leadership issue on the coaching, but I definitely can see some on the sidelines at times. Let's go to the next one. Or actually, before we go to the next one, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. I know everybody has their retirement. You think you got your retirement figured out. You think you got your retirement planned. But how do you know for sure? How do you know for sure that it's going to carry you the distance? How do you know for sure that you're not paying fees that you shouldn't? You're paying fees that you shouldn't be. How do you know all those things? So I think the best way to find out is giving Ford Stokes a shout at retirementresults.com/plan and get your free custom portfolio analysis and just make a great friend at the same time. So give Ford a shout out, tell him War Eagle, tell him I sent you and all that good stuff. He's a great dude and I think you're going to enjoy just chatting with him in general. All right, moving on. Let's see here. This is a really good question. 5 o'clock, Charlie. Which is funny. I've heard some recruiting gurus say our class will add at least Offord, Turner, and maybe pushing for Babs, Andrew Babalola. But they also project the class to finish between 4th and 7th. How? All right. So if currently Auburn sits 3, 4, depending on which site you look at, and they're looking to add a couple more. You look at guys like Sam Turner. You look at guys like Dalen Upshaw that Auburn's going for, Naheem Offord, Andrew Babalola. If you add one of the 5 stars, okay, if you add Naheem Offord, which I think if I had to bet right now, I would say Auburn flips him towards the end of the, you know, maybe towards the end, closer to signing day. That's going to put Auburn in very, very uncharted territory. Well, obviously, everybody they add now is in uncharted territory for Auburn. But from a points total perspective, uncharted territory, as in that level of class not ending up in the top four, to be honest. So what I'm assuming is when they're projecting Auburn between fourth and seventh, they're assuming Auburn loses some guys. But I've done some math, and you know, guys like, you know, let's just say you lose Malik Autry. You lose Malik Autry. You lose one of your corners, Donovan Starr, Devin Williams, one of those guys. You lose somebody like that, but you still add Naheem Offer. The way these classes are calculated, they don't typically take the whole class and rank them. They take like your highest ranked 20 to 22 players, and that's how they work their formula. So even if you lose some of those guys, if you add Sam Turner, if you add a Naheem Offer, it's really hard to go back in time and look at classes where there's precedent where Auburn falls outside of the top four. It really is. So for Auburn to go from where they are to outside of the top five, you would have to have multiple defections. And I just don't see that right now. Now, who knows what happens if Auburn just completely stinks it up and you know, only wins one or two games out of the next six. But I think as of now, everybody seems solid, and there's not really anybody on a threat to leave. So if things keep going like they are and you add Naheem Offord, there's no way Auburn finishes outside of the top four. So I assume they're factoring in some defections there. And I don't know exactly who you're talking about either. So you may be talking about somebody they may have something that I'm not seeing. So, but that's what I think about that one. This is a good question. Why can't Auburn do what Vandy has done, or Arkansas has done, or A&M? Okay, we'll take the first one, Vandy. Vandy has won – okay, this is Clark Lee's fourth year. Vandy's won three conference games in 4 years, okay? So I know we have a little bit of recency bias with the whole – and we have some personal ties to it, you know, knocking off Alabama – that makes us, you know, that overvalues a lot of things that what Vandy has done. Let's not forget, they lost to Georgia State this year. So I understand Auburn was close to knocking off Georgia and Alabama last season. So they've been close already in year one to if they just make that one more play, which I think is coming. If you make that one more play, you can do what quote-unquote Vandy has done, but you can do it a little bit more. Arkansas, you're in year what of Sam Pittman? I mean, Sam Pittman's been here 5-6-plus years, and they play really good defense, and then they've just found a quarterback that can run around and make some stuff happen. They're still putrid on offense, but they're finding ways to win, and that's what happens as the culture sets in. You figure out ways to win games, and then it becomes sort of, you know, second nature. It doesn't matter. You can play ugly and figure out how to win a game. And I think Auburn, that's the piece Auburn hasn't quite figured out yet. And again, I still think that's coming. And then A&M just has, I mean, Mike Elko took over. I would say, obviously, Kalen DeBoer had the best job takeover as far as roster goes, but Mike Elko had a pretty good one too. Like, that's a pretty stacked roster. So, and they've done well. They protect the ball. They just lean on their talent. And I think Auburn's going to get there eventually as well. So I hope that answers your question. I don't know that I want to do what Vandy has done, if I'm being quite frank. Let's see. Last one, and we're going to call it a day. Actually, I'm going to do two more. Reckoner one. If you had to mock the DL, the D-line or edge class, how do you see it finishing? I'm going to be honest, I wouldn't be shocked if it finishes like it does. Just like it is, and I think they're fine with that. There's a couple of guys they're talking to, interior guys. There's real edge guys. It seems like they would take Herbert Scroggins or Hail Mary at Zion Grady at the end, close to signing day, if they want to. But I think they're kind of content with what they have. There's a couple of interior guys they're looking at. I don't know how serious. I think a couple of them are coming in for official visits. But I think if you had to take the class as is, I think you'd be fine with it. I think you got some difference makers. You have several difference makers on this defensive line and the edge class. I mean, Jared Smith's having an unbelievable year, and I feel like Ja'Caleb Falk will more than likely end up at Edge anyway because he's so daggum big already. Last question, and then we're going to call it a day. Oso de Miami, who are you or the team most excited to step up that's a young guy that we haven't seen a ton of right now? The one I'm the most excited about and the most intrigued about that I haven't seen, we haven't seen a lot of, who's not injured, is Amaris Williams. I am, that kid is a physical specimen, but I feel like it's just unfortunate that the way it's set up right now, he's got all these guys that are seniors, and then he's got Ja'Caleb Falk ahead of him. So he's played sparingly, and I think he's going to be an unbelievable player. Like, think about the returning guys that are sort of your stalwarts of the defensive line to build around next year. Keldrick Falk, Malik Blockton, and then you got Amaris Williams. I mean, that is and then you got all your edge guys too that'll be able to mix in and play. I mean, that is some studs right there. That is some freaky studs. I would love to see a little bit more of Amaris Williams. I'm a little bit concerned though because he's played four games and you got that whole red shirt deal. If he plays another game, then he's going to have to burn his red shirt. So I don't really know how that's going to play out. I think that's one. Back to the previous question, you got to figure out ways to get him in the game. You got to figure out ways to go ahead and play him. He's not going to want to be here 4 years anyway. He's going to want to play three and go to the NFL, and I think he has NFL traits and NFL ability. So why not go ahead and get him on the field as much as you possibly can. So I don't know. That's one that I'm really excited to see. And then there's a bunch of, you know, I'm excited to see DeAndre Carter, the interior lineman. They say he is just a few months of continue to shaping his body and changing his body away from being he was pushing guys for playing time already. I think that kid's going to be a mauler. He's going to probably start next year. He's going to be a very, very good player for Auburn. So that's another young guy that I'm excited to see. And obviously you're always excited to see quarterbacks. I'd love to see Walker White. I don't think he's ready. And I think he'd tell you he's not ready. So other than that, all the other young guys are playing. So I want to see more DeMarcus Riddick. But if I had to pick two on both sides of the ball, I'd say Amaris Williams. And then I'm excited to see DeAndre Carter down the road because I think he's going to be a really good lineman. So, look, guys, this was the Barn Takeover. This is what I'm talking about. These are all fantastic questions. We just did a whole show based off of ideas that all came from the Barn. So that's the kind of stuff that you can get if you sign up. It's only $1 for your first month. We're going to try to do this weekly. So if you want to get your question in, you want to make sure you get a question in and get featured on the show, sign up, jump in that mailbag thread that we're going to have every single week. So I really appreciate it, guys. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. And then follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. We're going to be back every single dadgum day, just about 7 days a week. We might have even a Know Your Enemy bye week on Saturday. We'll see what happens. So, guys, thanks again, and we'll be back again tomorrow. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.